Hello and welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid. This is a comedy podcast dedicated to the mysterious. My name is Cassidy.
My name's Amanda.
And we are here. The Super Bowl was yesterday.
It was.
My Eagles lost.
Oh, I didn't even know who won.
The Eagles lost to the Chiefs.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I went the whole day without knowing any of that information.
Yeah. It was actually a really good game, though. And that's one thing. Since it wasn't, like, my team, I just like the Eagles. They're not, you know, it's not like the Raiders for me. I love the Raiders. I do love the Eagles, but they're not, like, my home team, you know? I was just happy it was a good game. Because it sucks when it's just, like, a really boring-ass game. But it was, like, neck and neck the whole time. It was very fun.
Oh, that is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my partner, who loves to gamble, won some of his, like, fun little prop bets. Like, he bet for Jalen Hurts to have the first touchdown of the game.
Well, that's the really hot one, right?
Jalen Hurts is the quarterback for the Eagles. I think you like Travis Kelce.
No. Jalen Hurts is the one Kate sends in the group chat all the time and says, Amanda, you'd like this guy.
Maybe. I can't remember.
I know.
Okay.
I know that. Trust me. I remember the name.
You're like, it really stuck with me.
It really did.
But he actually had the first touchdown of the game, Jalen Hurts. And it was like, he bet like $5 to win like $150.
Great.
Yeah. It was like totally, like, because anybody could score the first touchdown of the game, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. And then you just pick that random guy.
Yeah.
Did he do it based on hotness?
No, he did it because Jalen Hurts very often does run the ball in for touchdowns. And they're actually, he passed it to someone and they thought it was a touchdown, but he was actually right on the line. He didn't quite get in.
Ooh.
And so it was literally, he just had to, like, barely lean forward to get a touchdown. So they were like, why risk giving the ball to someone else? And he got it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was a fun game.
Great job.
I'm sad my Eagles lost, but it was a good game.
That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Both teams had fun.
They totally had fun.
Right?
Yeah.
Rihanna had fun.
Rihanna had fun, and she announced that she was pregnant.
Yes.
It was so funny. I was watching with Kate. And that's our friend for new listeners. And she was like, you shouldn't be saying that she's pregnant. She could just be postpartum. And I was like, no, she's like noticeably pregnant. And then, of course, it comes out after the game. She's like, that was me announcing I was pregnant. I was like, yeah. She was literally like rubbing her belly and stuff. Like, clearly she's pregnant.
She was pretty pregnant.
She was very pregnant. Yeah.
And I'm sorry. The fact that, like, I didn't even get to watch the whole thing. I just watched some clips.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that she could dance like that while being pregnant.
Dude, she did a great job. The choreography for that was really fun.
Yeah, I was very impressed with just the little amount of clips I saw.
Yeah, I thought it was very good.
I can't even dance and I'm not pregnant.
Honestly.
So.
I was showing my friends last night at the Super Bowl party, Darren Zanier, who's my favorite Swedish pop star.
Who?
Darren Zanier. He won Swedish Idol.
Why do you know that? What?
And I was like dancing, and my friend Lisa was like, I don't think I've ever seen Cassidy dance before. And I was like, that's because I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very not good.
And Lisa was like, please stop.
Yeah, literally. Lisa's like, this is bizarre. And
Lisa,
I'm like,
as a Latina who can probably dance.
Yeah. Lisa had been like twerking earlier and stuff. I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. But it was fun.
Amazing.
Amazing.
I just went home after I worked all day.
How was that?
Great, really.
Nice.
Yeah. Watched some TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I like to do. And I...
As one does.
Went to sleep.
Love it.
Yeah.
Sounds relaxing.
That was my Super Bowl.
I accidentally stayed out later than I meant to, which, you know, that's the worst feeling when you're like, ugh, I should have just gone home earlier.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the worst feeling ever.
And you should have.
Yeah. Well, it just sucks. Like, it always seems like a good idea. Like, oh, we'll stay out for one more. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's when shit always goes, like, awry is the
literally
one more.
Literally always.
And I'm usually really good at being like, nope, time to go home. But, you know, I let the Super Bowl get the best of me. But here we are.
Here we are. Can I shift gears for just a moment?
Always.
I feel like we need to talk about this because it's been in my DMs.
Oh, the UFOs?
It's happening.
I'm a little nervous.
It's literally happening. And, okay, I really thought that I was going to thrive in this moment. And I was like, I'm ready. I have
You're
been
scared,
preparing.
Huh?
I'm so scared. What do we do?
All right. So for those of you who don't know, There have been UFOs sightings all over the world.
Multiple.
We've shot down multiple of them in the United States alone. There was one over Canada. There was one over Montana. There was one in Alaska.
This weekend alone, they shot two or three, I think, yeah. Right? Three.
And the footage of them is pretty spooky-ooky. Like, I don't know what else that would be.
The amount of DMs I've been getting in the last 2 days of people just being like, Amanda, this is your time. And I'm like, oh my God, I thought that I was ready for this, but I'm not ready.
I just feel like everyone's like, all right, I guess.
I really think this is happening.
You think like, do you think like there's going to be like an event?
Yeah, like an alien invasion.
Yeah, you think?
Kind of.
You look really nervous.
Because I always thought.
But you still have all your eyelashes, so you're not too nervous.
I do have my eyelashes. That's good. I haven't picked them out quite yet. I think I just thought that I was going to be abducted individually.
Okay, so you wanted to have like an incident with an alien, but you didn't want them to like invade the United States.
Right. I wanted to go up there, say hey, get to know them, figure out that they're actually there and they're real, mm-hmm. and then be put back down mm-hmm. with half my memories.
Got it.
That's what I wanted.
Okay.
I didn't want this, and I'm a little nervous.
I just feel like, you know, I'm not a scientist or anything.
You're not?
I know, it's just shocking. I am an MD, double D, PhD, but I'm not a scientist.
Ugh, damn it.
I just think we probably shouldn't be shooting at them. Like, leave them be. Stop shooting them down.
I mean, you're right.
Like, what are you trying to do? Poke the bear? Don't do that.
Yeah, now we're going to be really fucked.
Well, because that's just making us look really mean and aggressive. And so they're like, oh, these people suck. We should kill all of them.
And there's so many of them. They're yeah. just going to keep coming.
That's what I'm saying. Because, like, if we had a little mission to Mars and we got shot down by something, we'd be like, time to send time to nuke Mars.
Oh, you know absolutely. What I mean? Yeah.
So, like, I think we should probably cool our jets shooting these bad boys down.
No, I agree.
And maybe instead send up a hot air balloon with a greeting, like as a greeting basket.
Ooh, maybe some chocolates?
Yeah, an edible arrangement, perhaps.
Ooh, oh my gosh.
Some of our best fruits and veggies.
Perhaps some Taco Bell?
Maybe a nice liqueur.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
No, I think they'd really like that.
Can we get President Biden on the horn? Immediately.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah.
Biden. Hey.
Hey.
It's DTK.
We've got some ideas over here. It's DTK Inc. but yeah, I just think we should probably stop shooting at them. I think that is one of our biggest issues as a nation. Our response to literally anything we don't understand is to shoot at it. I think we should stop doing that.
You're right.
Like, we're going to get our asses nuked by the aliens.
Oh my God. I don't know what to do. I'm not ready. I thought everything I ever thought has just dissipated from my.
I knew that this is how you'd react, because every time we play that game of like, oh, what would you do in a zombie apocalypse, you're like, die.
Well, okay, like I said, I thought this was going to be an individual abduction. Mm-hmm. I didn't want an invasion.
You know what's crazy? Because there's moments in your life that are like so surreal, right? Like, it's just things you never thought would ever happen to you. Like, I'm sure it would feel that way if you were just like chilling at home and then suddenly like your city got bombed, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like, that's very like a surreal feeling, or like probably like being in a mass shooting or something like that. It's yeah. probably a very surreal feeling.
I can't even imagine.
But those things are much more common than obviously an alien dropping down and being like, what up? But like, what if that happened? Can you like imagine how that would actually feel if like Arrival? Do you know that movie with Amy Adams?
Yes,
I think it is.
Yes, I've seen
like,
it.
What if something like that happens?
I die.
You would die?
Immediately.
Even if they're not being aggressive immediately?
Are they being nice?
They're just chilling. I'm not talking War of the Worlds. I'm talking Arrival, where they just kind of drop a little guy down and we're trying to figure out how to communicate with him.
Oh, no, I wouldn't die. That would be ideal.
But how crazy would that be?
It would be crazy.
Like, what do you do? Do we still go to work?
No.
Right? We get to stop going to work if the aliens, like, touch down.
Yeah.
I feel like that's fair.
Absolutely.
I'll try to still do the podcast.
Maybe we can have some of them as guests.
Come on the pod.
See, that's the thing. We are pro alien, so maybe they won't hurt us.
I just feel like we're going to get caught up with everybody else.
Like, we're running because everyone's running.
Well, just like, you know, they're like, you guys are shooting down our shit. We can't pick and choose who's doing that. We're just going to nuke the place.
do I look like someone that's going to shoot anything?
No.
No, I literally, I cried because a pigeon picked up a piece of plastic on the sidewalk.
You did do that. That is true.
I'm not going to hurt anybody.
No, you're not.
So don't hurt me.
Especially not an alien.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
You know, there's a lot to, there's a lot to piece through here. And I do think that, what if, because I'm sure you know, I'm sure you heard about Ohio. I sent you stuff about Ohio, right?
The really big, weird explosion thing?
Yeah.
I saw it.
What if the aliens are like, these people are idiots. They literally can't get anything right. Look at them. They're poisoning their own people.
Yeah.
We got to get down there and figure out the situation. They're here to help, maybe.
That'd
even.
Be great.
And then we shoot them down.
That's not great.
That's what I'm saying. I think we got to stop shooting.
Yeah, we need to give them a chance.
I think we should take away the U.S. government's guns.
And put a pina colada in their hand.
Give them a pina colada. Give them an espresso martini buzzball.
Yes, yes.
And then see where we go from there.
I think this is good.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Let's get less guns, more ice cream cones.
Oh, that's an inspirational quote.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Less guns.
More ice cream cones.
It's like my inner fat kids make love, not war. It's like
absolutely
less guns, more ice cream cones.
No,
yeah.
I really love this. And
listen, we have a grandpa president.
I know. Can someone send
who
him?
Who loves ice cream. I just feel like we could maybe convince him to do this. Get Biden on the phone. Get him on the horn.
Can someone just send him a clip of this podcast?
I think he'd like it.
I think he would, too.
He's kind of sassy.
I think he would listen to our suggestions, and then he would immediately start from episode one and binge.
He'd binge. Oh, yeah, man. He'd go through me getting hit by cars, me going through a breakup, me going getting unbroken up.
He'd buy some merch.
He would hear all about Amanda pulling out all of her eyelashes. He would hear about you going blonde. And now you're brunette again.
It's really confusing.
There's a lot going on here, Biden. And there's intricacies to this. And if you don't know the lore, how are you going to keep up? Like, how are you going to keep Sydney and Kate separate in your mind if you don't know from episode one?
That's so true. And that goes for all of you, really.
How are you going to speculate about the ex that we always bleep his name out of the podcast if you don't know the lore? You have to know the lore, Biden. This is why we always say start from episode one.
That I agree.
Like, listen, is the sound quality going to be a little iffy? Yeah, we're just two gals.
In a closet.
And a dog.
That's so true.
With a little help from Siri every once in a while. That's all we've got going for us.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Siri, every single time I'm listening to the pod and you say, hey, Siri, my phone goes off.
You're going to make my phone go off right now.
Well, you
just
sorry.
Did. Yep.
That's what you get.
That's what happens when I'm edit. Oh, and my watch went off, too. That is also what happens when I'm editing the episode. If I don't have my headphones on, every single time my phone and she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shut up. And then I'm like, take it back. I'm sorry. I know one day you're going to be my AI overlord. I really respect you and I appreciate you, Siri.
We probably do that to every single one of our listeners, too, and they probably hate it. Sorry this got off the rails,
do
people.
Do think if it's not aliens that are going to take us out, it's definitely going to be AI.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm inherently so mean to all of my technologies.
That's true.
I don't respect them. You've heard how I talk to Alexa. It's not nice.
So really what you're saying is... the aliens would be your preferred choice to come down and be our overlord.
Oh, man. I mean, I might have a better chance than with the computers.
I think you would.
Here's the thing. The computers are not going to like me because the only reason they would keep us around is for free labor. And I'm not a good worker.
Me either.
Anyone who's ever worked with me guaranteed would be like, yeah, that bitch is super lazy and like talks back and is not a good worker. Like, I'm smart and I'm capable and stuff like that, but I am just super ornery. I'm not very nice.
That's why you don't like having bosses.
And that's why I'm not good at having bosses. Even, like, people I like, I talk back.
Me too.
I'm rude. I cannot help myself. And that is something I know about myself, and that is why I'm self-employed. I don't like being told what to do. And I just feel like that's all the computers would do. And so they would immediately see me as oh, she's going to disrupt what we've got going on here.
Right.
They would take me out immediately. They'd be like, she's trying to unionize behind our backs. We cannot allow that.
No, I can see that.
Yeah. So I do think I would have a better idea, like, to hook up with the aliens. They might just find me quirky enough
that's
to keep
true.
Around.
You're right. Yeah.
They'd be like, this bitch is weird.
And you are.
We shouldn't kill her. We should figure out what she's all about.
I think they would be more interested.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So that's what I think, personally.
I almost think the aliens might take me out because they think I'm annoying, and the computers would keep me because I'm...
You're a worker bee.
A worker bee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So we have very different apocalyptic scenarios.
But I don't
here.
Want the computers. I want the aliens.
The computer... The AI really scares me. Like, I try to just not think about it. But have you seen those fucking robots they're making?
I'm scared.
I'm so scared all of the time.
I just don't... What is happening?
I don't know what's going on, and I don't like it.
Anyway.
You know what?
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Happy Valentine's Day. You know what sucks about being, like... I'm, like, medium smart.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm not stupid enough to, like, be like, who cares? I'm, like, smart enough to know I should be scared, but I'm not smart enough to know how to fix it or why I'm scared. I'm just scared.
Well, you're not you're not a scientist.
No, I'm just a PhD, double D, MD.
Right.
I'm just a humble D.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Meanwhile, my motto is ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, but it's like you're also smart enough to know that there's things you don't know, and that's scary to you.
That is.
That's what I'm talking about. Medium smart, it's not a good place to be.
Oh, God.
Like, all the time I'm like, wow, climate change is scary. Oh, my gosh. Late stage capitalism is destroying our country. Holy crap. We're shooting things. And then I'm like, oh, but I'm not smart enough to fix any of it.
Should we just start believing in God? Because at this point, I don't know what else to do.
I actually saw a tweet. I saw a tweet this week that made me laugh so hard. I'm so sorry. I wasn't planning on referencing it. That's why I didn't write down who did it. I don't want to, like, steal this person's tweet. But if you search it on Twitter, you'll find it. And they said, you don't believe in God because you think we live in a simulation? Question mark. Okay, bro, you still believe in God. You just think God's a nerd.
So true.
It's like, wow, yes. Oh, my God. Wow.
I'm just saying, I just don't know what else to do at this point.
I just think, I think the apocalypse is nigh. You know what I mean? Like, it's here. We're on the precipice. Whether it's climate change, whether it's nuclear warfare, whether it's things exploding in Ohio.
Yes, keep going, Cassidy,
or
please.
Or aliens coming down from the sky, or AI, or these fucking robots that they keep making. Like, did you not watch Black Mirror? Fucking cut it out. Just stop it. We all saw the episode and we didn't like what we saw. Cut it out. I know it's here. I just didn't think I was gonna have to keep, like, doing normal things while all this was happening.
Right. Like, you thought you could just sit around.
Yeah, like, I just figured, like, oh, the world's ending, like, we should all just sit around and, yeah, like, do whatever. But I'm like, I still have to, like, go to work and, like, go to the gym and, like, pay taxes. Like,
yeah,
why am I paying taxes when the aliens are here? That just doesn't seem fair.
You're making a lot of points.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like, I should be allowed to just sit around.
Same. I shouldn't have to go to work every day.
This is terrible. This is terrible.
It's like, not only do we get an alien invasion, but we still have to go to work.
And it's like, why? I mean, I'm trying to go to the gym so I don't die at 45 of a heart attack.
But what's the point? Who cares?
What's the point? I don't think I'm going to make it to 45 at this point. The aliens are here,
They're
brother.
They're here.
So I'm going to drink my espresso martini buzzball. I'm going to get Joe on the horn, try to figure out this ice cream situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, on that note of not making it to 45, I did want to say quick happy birthday to Gina.
Gina!
Who turns 21. That's one of our cool kids.
21?
21.
Tons of fun.
And Gina, I think their birthday was yesterday, but obviously this comes out on Wednesday, so this would have been like this last weekend. They went and got a tattoo with their mom.
I saw.
And then they had a Monster High themed birthday party.
What is that?
It is, I think, okay, this is like young people shit. I'm too old for this, but I've heard of Monster High. They're like spooky Bratz dolls.
I love that.
Yeah. So everybody was supposed to dress like different Monster High characters. I would love to see these photos, Gina. Post them on Insta and give us a taggy. Give us a little taggy tag.
Gina did send a picture of the tattoo if you want to see it.
I asked for her to do that.
Well, it's here.
Also, Gina, your mom sounds cool. She took you to go get a tattoo for your 21st birthday. Oh, it's cute. It is a moth, and
it's a
moth. Love it. Oh, it's fuzzy little head.
So cute.
10 out of 10, Gina.
10 out of 10.
Happy birthday. 21 is such a fun and terrifying year. Hopefully you do it better than I did it.
You cried on your 21st birthday.
I cried. I threw up. I caused a scene. other people, there was a gang fight at the bar we were at.
There was.
Someone threw cake in somebody's face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
Great times.
Well, I also have a birthday
shout out. I was in
out.
Like kind of a spooky love triangle at the time, too. Very complicated.
You were, huh?
Yeah. Don't be in a love triangle. Gina, take advice from me.
If there's one piece of advice she could give you.
Do not be in a love triangle. You think it's going to be all Bella and Edward. You know what I mean? You think it's going to be all vampire. And it's really just mediocre musicians who treat you not that nice.
Wow.
Right?
No, yes. I was there. I know.
She's like, I had a front row seat.
Literally front row. On that note, I have another birthday shout out for Aaron, who turns 33, lucky 33.
Ooh.
On the day this comes out.
Hell yeah. Happy birthday, Aaron.
Yes. And Aaron is a cool kid who we've talked to many times.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Aaron, are you also having a Monster High themed birthday party?
I mean, yeah, maybe. Who knows?
You know what this makes me think of?
What?
I was having this conversation. I've had this conversation a couple times, but I was having this conversation. My boyfriend's strange.
Yes.
Everybody knows it. He was on the phone with his best friend, like on speakerphone yesterday. And I was like in the living room while they were talking. And then he just gets up and like left. Like he left the apartment, like to go to the store. And he just like left his friend talking on speakerphone. And I could hear him talking. And so I walk over.
Wait. Hold on. Back up.
Did not tell his friend he left. His friend was rambling about something.
Wait. Hold on. Okay. His friend is on speakerphone.
Yes. They're talking to each other.
He not only leaves the apartment, but left the phone.
Yes.
Okay.
With his friend still babbling about whatever he was talking about. And at first I thought, I was like making things up. And then I walk over and I'm like, sure enough, he's talking. And I go, Nima. And he's like, Cassidy? And I was like, Andrew left. And he's like, you went to the bathroom? And I was like, he went to the store to go get stuff for the Super Bowl. Like, and he goes, that's really embarrassing. I've literally just been talking for like 5 minutes. I didn't even notice. Anyway, I love Nima. I'm friends with him too. And so I just am like, so what's up, man? And we end up having a great conversation about themed restaurants.
You know that's my thing.
I know, because I personally think every single bar and restaurant should be themed.
Me too.
And so when we were talking about this yesterday, I told him how you love a themed thing. Like, you'll drive far away to go to a themed thing.
I will go to any, there is an alien UFO themed bar in San Diego that I want to go to.
Oh, let's do it.
Let's do it.
So we end up talking about this and we're like, okay, what are like the best movies that a restaurant could be themed about? And I said Beetlejuice for sure.
There is one.
Which I know you've been to one.
Yes.
I've seen the pictures.
Which we need to go.
I also think, I don't know why, Sleepy Hollow I feel like would be a good theme for a movie.
Okay. Isn't it fucked up that there's a whole ass Forrest Gump themed chain?
Isn't it fucked up that I did not realize
that Bubba Gump?
That Bubba Gump came from Forrest Gump.
Well, we hate Forrest Gump, so.
We do. I got a DM from somebody that was like, you hate Forrest Gump? Like, people are now, like, you know, binging, like, yeah. New listeners. I probably get, like, 3 DMs a week from random people who get to that episode and are like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And I'm like, listen, first of all, it's always men. Men love Forrest Gump. They get very mad at me for not liking Forrest Gump.
It's a classic, you know?
And I listen, I hear you, I respect you. I don't like the movie.
And you'll never change her.
But I just had no idea that I thought Bubba Gump's shrimp thing was already a thing and they just wrote it into the movie. I did not know it was that the Bubba Gump came after.
Have you ever been there?
Yes.
You know how you have to like do run, Forrest, run or stop, Forrest, stop if you want to order?
Oh, no. I've been there like twice and I just sat at the bar.
Oh, okay.
Because there was one across the street from, I used to work at an aquarium and there was one across the street, little yes. Dark.
That's where me and Sam went on one of our first dates.
Yes.
Yes.
So I would go there and get a drink after work sometimes, but I never actually, like, I think I got, like, popcorn chicken or popcorn shrimp once, but that's it.
Little Dark. I just got that.
Yeah, it's a little dark to have a Bubba Gump shrimp across the street from the aquarium.
It just hit me.
It's like, yikes, man. They're really keeping those fish in line. They're like, if you fucking don't act right, that's where you're headed.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? It's like it's like adults being like, if you get out of bed, the boogeyman's gonna get you.
Poor little shrimps.
I'm actually shocked you went there. You hate seafood.
Yeah, I have no idea why I went there.
Because you loved Sam.
No, I just don't know why I went there. Like, that's just a really weird place to go.
You're like, no, I did not like him yet.
Why would I go there?
I don't know.
It's overpriced.
And it's not even near where we lived.
No, and it's not good.
Yeah.
So, what the fuck?
My little popcorn shrimps were fine.
You like those shrimps?
Yeah, they're fine. Okay, people love shrimp.
No, thanks.
I love seafood. I love seafood. Shrimp is not even in my top five seafoods.
What's your top five?
Tuna.
Ew.
Love tuna. Raw. Ew. I want that shit raw. Tuna. I love scallops. Tuna, scallops, mussels.
Ew.
Sorry, we have lost control of this intro.
I know. We probably lost everybody at this point.
It's okay. You know what? Teach his own.
Maybe after we upload this, the alien invasion will happen.
Oh, so they won't even hear it?
Right.
Yeah, probably.
Hopefully.
That's such a good point.
At this point, hopefully.
That's such a good point. All right, so we would love to welcome some of our new patrons. Once again, we are on a bit of a backlog with these patrons.
It's going to be that way forever.
So if you do not hear yours the week that you join, that's fine. You're going to hear it in a couple episodes. It's going to be fine. So we would like to welcome Wreckingstein.
Wreckingstein, hello.
So some people use their real names and some people use like little fun nicknames.
You don't think that's a real name? Because I do.
Could be. It's not capitalized, so they don't think much of their Wreckingstein. So welcome to Wreckingstein. Welcome to Jessica.
Hello, Jessica.
Welcome to Daniel.
Daniel, hi.
Welcome to Jean.
Jean, hello.
Welcome to Bethany.
Hello, Bethany.
Classic ass name, Bethany.
That's a good name. Yeah. Strong name.
Strong name. Good roots.
Yeah.
Parker.
Parker. That's a cute name, too. I like that.
Welcome to Aubrey.
Hello, Aubrey.
And welcome to Raven.
Raven.
Raven. Cool name.
That's so Raven.
Makes me think of, you know, my favorite television show.
That's so Raven?
The 100.
Oh. Right, yes.
I love that show so much. I love that show. I love The Magicians. The fact that one of the main writers on The Magicians is a listener of ours just makes me want to poop my pants with joy every time I think about it.
I remember that, yeah.
So, but thank you to all of our new patrons. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the new content we have out. We have Hellier Season 2. We have a Valentine's Day video, which will make you lose all hope in love. We literally.
Yeah, it's not very happy.
It's not. But we do get drunk, so.
We do.
There's that. We also have our new shot of Kool-Aid is out for this month, and we're going to have another bonus episode coming out this month, so make sure you guys check that out. You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/drinkingthekool-aid, or you can find it on dtkpod.com/support.
Incredible.
Thank you. Thank you.
And we hope everyone had a great Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. We hope you guys did it good.
That's right.
Hopefully you did it better than me and you didn't embarrass yourself by dancing to your favorite Swedish pop star after a few margaritas.
And I'm just glad that I now know you have a favorite Swedish pop star.
He was like totally a teeny bopper's dream like when we were younger.
I need to look him up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. That's absolutely someone I would be in love with. Are you joking?
He kind of looks like your husband, actually.
Kind of, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, and so, like, when I was in junior high, he was, like, 17, right? So it was just like, oh, he was, like, this slightly older teen, and I just, like, was in love with him, and he won Swedish Idol.
Great.
Yeah. we did want to shoot. I don't want to shoot anybody, no. Especially not the aliens, if you're listening.
We
aliens.
Literally just discussed this.
Sorry, this is like the longest intro ever, but it's fine. We did want to shout out Brad Rogers.
Oh my gosh.
Who gave us this awesome rune readings, personalized rune readings for both of ours. Mine was so spot on.
Mine was so spot on.
I was literally, like, I was just bitching to Amanda about how I have, like, control issues and, like, I have problems letting go and especially things that I can't change. And literally the first line of mine reads, Cassidy, this indicates that you are someone who values control as a defense measure.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, holy crap. Like, I hadn't even read this, and I was just bitching to Amanda.
I had read yours already. That's why I was like, oh my God, this is weird.
And I read that and was like, you need that you want and need a level of control over your emotional state. There is also an enjoyment with physical movement and journeys outside of the home.
Yep.
Come on.
I know.
That is so spooky.
I know. Mine also said that now would be a good time for me to have a baby.
Oh, no.
So not good for you.
Not good for me.
But.
Yes. So you can find him on Instagram at Odin's Arcana. That's O-D-I-N-S-A-R-K-A-N-A. Or on Etsy at Odin's Arcana, Etsy.com.
And it's basically like a tarot reading, but with like these stones.
With the runes. Yeah. So it's like, that's like it's like a Norse thing. Like, speaking of Swedish and shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's like
that. Wow.
Yeah. So they're from Ontario, Canada. Very cool.
Yeah.
Check them out. I will also link it in the description of this show so that you guys can find it more easily, because it's just really fun. All right. So I'm going to go first today.
Obviously.
And I kind of just have like a silly, weird little guy.
We love that here.
I love just like a weird guy.
Me too.
And by guy, I just mean my story. Story is not even about a man.
Obviously.
The story is just a weird little guy.
I know this.
Yeah, you get it. You got the vibe.
I got the vibe. I passed the vibe check.
You did. So my story today is The Green Children of Woolpit.
Oh my God.
What? Do you actually know this one?
I do know this one, yes.
Oh, really?
But I love it.
That's so funny because this is like not a big story.
No, but it's in my wheelhouse.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
So my sources today were the New York Times, an article by Denita Smith, or Denisha, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it, Mental Floss, an article by Caitlin Schneider, History Defined by Carl Siever, and Wikipedia.
This is a fun little guy.
This is just a fun little guy.
So everyone just sit back.
Kick back, relax, and get that mind wide fucking open.
That's right.
Okay, something really fucking strange just happened to us. We're going to post the video on Instagram and on Twitter because it's really fucking weird. But basically, we had a very bizarre
malfunction
of our audio equipment. But we're back after resetting everything 5 fucking times. Amanda cried.
That was my sign that they're here.
They're here. There's a little guy in here somewhere.
There's something.
Sydney.
Oh, yeah. And our producer, Sydney, has been going crazy.
So I don't know. Anybody who doesn't know, our producer is a dog named Sydney. And she's been whining and crying, and she never does that.
Yeah, and she's been wanting to get out of here.
Yeah. So that's fun.
Yeah, we're having a great time.
So
guys.
I made us really strong white Russians to help.
Yeah, I think that'll help, especially if we see like a little alien guy in your living room. That'll definitely help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, let's get into my story.
Yes. Please. So I can get the fuck out of your apartment.
Is set in Woolpit in Suffolk, England.
Yes.
Okay, went through. So this is named for its defining feature, which is a pit that traps wild and dangerous wolves. So Woolpit literally translates to wolf pit.
But why did they name it wool, like W-O-O-L?
Because it's like Old English.
Okay.
And one day in the 12th century, a dude, he's been described as a reaper. I just didn't know what that meant.
Like a grim reaper?
I think like someone who takes care of dead things, because like an undertaker or something.
Oh, okay.
Because he was sent out to look around the wolf pits to see if there's any wolves had gotten stuck in there and to take care of it, I'm assuming. Okay. Because they had like sheep and shit, and like the wolves would come and eat the livestock and the children, I'm assuming.
Oh.
And he notices that there are two kids in one of the wolf pits. One was a boy, the other was a girl. Both are under the age of 10, like somewhere between like 6 and 9 years old, I'd say.
Okay.
The girl is the older one and the boy is the younger one. So he's smaller. So he's probably closer to 6. She's probably around 8 or 9. They appeared to be siblings, not only because they looked similar, but they both spoke the same unrecognizable language. They wore strange clothing and their skin was green.
It always comes back to aliens, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
We are poking the bear.
We are.
We would not shoot you guys down.
We love you.
So this guy like grabs them and he's like, what the fuck? This is super weird. Brings them back into the town. And of course, people are like, kill him.
Wait.
Hang him, shoot him, burn him. You know what I mean?
So he grabs the kids out of the wool pit, wolf pit.
Yeah.
He doesn't care that they're green.
Well, I mean, I think he's like, whoa, that's fucking crazy.
Okay.
And that's why he like runs into town. He's like, anybody got any ideas on this one? That's what I assume.
Got it.
Kind of like I'm imagining him like in the town square, like with the two green children, and they're like babbling in a language no one can understand. And he's like, can I get like a second opinion on this thing here? And like people like, I'm also assuming people just like leaned out of their
windows
like Beauty and the Beast style.
Yes, bonjour.
Yeah, and they're like, I have an opinion. Kill them,
burn them.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Like people were like, fucking burn those kids, throw them back in the pits.
And then a song breaks out.
Exactly, that's what I'm
burn
assuming.
Burn them and kill them and put them in a stew.
Get those kids away from me. I don't care that there are two. Okay. And the kids are like freaking out. They're yelling in this like unrecognizable language. And it's not even just like a language they don't understand. It's like literally, it doesn't sound like any language they have ever heard before, ever.
Okay.
So it's not even like I don't know. I do not speak Spanish. But when I hear someone speaking Spanish, I'm like, that's Spanish.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Or like, I do not speak Arabic. But when I hear someone speaking Arabic, I know that that's Arabic.
Well, this is the 12th century. So yeah, what do they know?
But also like where, like if these kids were from around nearby, they would hear they would know the language. You know what I mean?
I'm just thinking like they don't have Rosetta Stone.
They definitely are not popping on that. They're not getting the owl from fucking, what's that app called that everyone uses?
Oh.
And it's like, you have not practiced Spanish in 15 days. And I'm like, I know, I'm busy. I'm not busy. I just don't want to do the homework.
I actually want to do that.
I did it for a little while for Swedish and then a little while for Italian. But I gave up. I learned like the basics and then I just gave up.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, we got to shut these kids up. They're being really annoying. So they try to feed them. They won't eat any food that's offered to them until they are offered raw fava beans. And they literally gobble those babies up.
Oh.
And everyone's like, y'all are freaky for real.
They're kind of like you. They like some beans.
I love beans.
Yeah.
So while people are like, let's kill these kids, let's burn them at the stake.
Let's kill children.
Throw them in the wolf pit and have them be bait. You know what I mean? They're green. They're different. We don't like that.
They are green, but
this guy, Sir Richard de Colnay, who he's a sir, so he's clearly important in the town. He's like a wealthy guy. He lives in Woolpit. He takes the kids and he's like, listen, they can stay with me. I've got this big estate. I don't have any kids of my own, so they can just live at my house until we figure out what the fuck to do with them. We probably shouldn't kill them, though.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, boo, hiss, kill them. But he's like, no, we're not going to do that. So eventually, the older of the two, the girl, started to pick up on English, and she's actually able to tell Sir Richard where she came from.
Okay.
And she explains that she's from somewhere called Saint Martin's Land, where everything's green.
Oh.
And the sun never fully rose.
Okay. Well, green is my favorite color. So
me too.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so basically it was like perpetual twilight in this place. Like it wasn't always like dark like night. But you know that like grayish twilighty color, you know?
Yes, yes.
Right after the sun goes down, but it's still a little, you have a little light, or right before it comes up, you still have a little light. Uh-huh. It was always like that.
Okay.
So the sun never came up full on like they have here.
And how did they get to England?
So she confirms that the boy is her brother and explains the very strange circumstances that led to them arriving in the wolf pit. The two had been, as she says, herding sheep or cattle.
Okay.
It's kind of unclear. Like, I read one story that just said like they were like herding animals, and then another one said sheep and whatever. Doesn't matter.
Is this classified as an urban legend?
No, and we'll get into that later.
Okay.
So the two had been herding cattle or sheep or whatever, and for their father, when they heard a really strange noise. So in one account, it's like that they heard like a really loud boom in a nearby cave, and then another account says it like sounded a little more like bells.
Okay.
And they thought like maybe one of their sheep had gotten stuck in the cave. So they like walk over to this cave, they walk in, they get super disoriented, they're hearing like bell noises, and they're like, okay, we got to get out of here. And when they get out of the cave, they exit and they're in the wolf pit.
So it was kind of like a time travel, but not
time travel. It was like a portal.
Portal.
Yeah. So they're like, well, that's really fucking weird. And we don't believe you. So fuck off, basically.
But they're fucking green. So maybe yes. You should believe something that they say, because
clearly something's going on here. Yeah. That's not good. So the girl actually slowly becomes acclimated to her new environment. She starts eating regular food. And as she starts learning English and eating regular food, she starts to lose her green color.
What?
Meanwhile, her little brother is not doing so hot. So he is, like, not really thriving in this environment. He's sick all the time. He doesn't want to eat any of the food. He doesn't want to learn English. And he actually just, like, is becoming increasingly, like, depressed and sickly. He loses like a ton of weight, and eventually he becomes so sick, never recovers, and dies. Yeah. Like failure to thrive. It's like when you repot a plant, but with a human. That's what it felt like.
I was going to make a joke and say it's not easy being green, but now I feel bad.
I know. It made me think of, I'm blue. If I was green, I would die. No. Oh, no.
Bad joke.
Listen, this happened in the 12th century. I'm allowed to make jokes.
You're okay. Right.
So he like can't fight off this infection. He won't eat. He's super sickly. He ends up passing away like pretty quick. Actually, some people say it was right after he was baptized, because they both were baptized. And that's when she started to thrive and he started to decline.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the girl, however, was given the name Agnes. She grew up in Sir Richard's home and eventually worked as a servant for him in his house.
Before. He made her a servant?
Yeah.
You couldn't, like, adopt her as your daughter, you fucking asshole? No. Like, what the fuck?
He was like, she might be green, but I'm still racist, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So she grows up. She's a servant in his household before marrying a royal official officer named Richard Barr. So she becomes Agnes Barr.
Okay.
She was apparently super mean and also, like, extremely sexually active with a lot of people.
Oh, okay.
As she was known to be. And she refused to show respect for higher ups. And she was just, like, all around kind of just, like, sassy to be around. She was basically, like, if I had sex with people more.
That's kind of, well, first I thought you were going to say just sexually active. I didn't know you were going to say with tons of different people. And I was like, so she's you.
That could, so, yeah, like, everybody knows I'm a prude. And also, like, I do not have sex with people very often. But.
I mean, other than your partner.
Yeah, just like my partner. Like, that's fine. But, like, I don't go around. And when I'm single, I'm not, like, I'm not a busybody. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
But. I don't know for sure if she actually was this way or people just liked to say that about her because she was kind of a bitch. And they're like, well, I heard she's a slut, too. You know,
yeah.
Classic. People have been doing that to women for a long time. And even if she was, whatever. Who cares?
I was going to say people still do that to women.
Oh, yeah. Do you know how many times I've been called a slut or a whore or whatever because I reject a man?
Oh, always. Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm like, actually, clearly not, because I don't want to have sex with you.
So true.
Like, they're like, okay, slut. And I'm like, what is not computing here?
When will you learn?
So.
Wait, when is the part of the story where she breaks into her ballad?
Right?
Like, maybe when her brother dies? No.
It is time for me to assimilate. My family has gone and left this place. Right?
Oh. My God, that was incredible work. I'm crying.
You know what? Every show needs their musical episode. This is ours.
This is like Buffy.
This is. One more time with feeling, baby. Okay, so once more with feeling. Oh my God, how embarrassing. I almost misquoted the name of a Buffy episode. Who am I? So, like you said, is this a fucking urban legend? Is this folklore?
Right.
And many people are like, yeah, clearly. This happened in the 12th century. It's probably just some dumb story somebody made up as, like, a tale to be like, don't be so racist, maybe. Like, you could even be green and we like you.
Right.
Gotta say, red flag when someone's like, I'm not racist. I don't care if you're pink. black, white, or yellow. And you're like, ooh, we already, you're naming a lot of colors.
Yeah, we already know that's problematic.
Yeah, stop saying that.
Yeah, agreed.
Guys, it's not a good look. So you would think, like, okay, yeah, this is a bonkers off-the-wall story. But the thing is, two different, very prominent historians who were alive at the time, so contemporary historians, both wrote this event separately in their histories.
Okay.
So this was well known enough and well documented enough that we know it did happen.
Like, all these people in this town saw these green children.
Yes. And it was relayed to these monks who kept the histories of the time.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes people think, okay, these are literally in these historical records. And along with that, Richard Barr was a very prominent clergyman and scholar who worked for the king at the time. So we know, like, we know so much about him. We know when he was born, when he died. There's a whole fucking ass Wikipedia page about this guy.
Okay.
So we know that he married this woman from Woolpit, and her name was fucking Agnes.
Okay, we know that, but did she ever talk about her past with anybody? Like, how do we know for a fact?
We don't.
Yeah.
But we have all of these different accounts from different people basically corroborating this same story. So, like, that's very weird. You know what I mean? To have, like, a direct line and to very prominent people. Like, the two historians who recorded this happening, once again, these are the histories that we look at going, this is how we know what happened in the 12th century.
Right.
Like, these are legit. They're not like, it's not, it wasn't like written in a random book that could have been a children's book. Like, this really happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could have not happened, obviously, but most likely, and historians do think, it did happen. So what is it?
I know, I want to know what this green place is.
All right, so there's a lot of theories. We're going to start off with the less mysterious ideas and then go on to the more drinking the Kool-Aid, mind wide open ones.
Got it.
So starting off, there's people who think that these kids could have been Flemish immigrants who had been told by their parents to lie about where they were from or that they might have been orphaned. And so they were malnourished enough to hallucinate all of this. And they were so sickly that they looked green. There's also reports that back then with, like, Old English, the words green and yellow could be confused for each other, perhaps. Uh-huh. So they're like, maybe they were more yellow, like they were jaundiced because they were sick. There are also other theories along this same line, like maybe they had arsenic poisoning and had hallucinations, or they had an iron deficiency that can cause a greenish hue to your skin.
Can it really?
There's also, yes.
Oh.
But it's like greenish hue. So we'll get into that in a second. There's also a theory that they could have been victims of a Viking boat sinking. And I actually learned that this week, that Vikings were not like a race of people, or you know what I mean? Like, not a race, but like, it wasn't just like white people from the north were Vikings. There were like Muslim Vikings. There was like all types of Vikings.
Yeah, I thought being a Viking was just like,
it's like being a pirate.
That's what I always thought.
I apparently am just stupid then, because I've heard people being like, oh, I'm descendant of Vikings. I thought that meant that it was like a type of, you know what I mean?
No, I understand what you mean. I genuinely just always thought it was like, oh, my uncle was a pirate because he did this, and like my uncle was a Viking.
Yes.
Is from like Disney movies and stuff. They always attribute that to Norse people.
Yeah, but like I learned this week that there's like they found in like old Viking helmets and stuff, like Allah sketched into it. Like they weren't all like Odin worshiping fucking Norse people.
Yeah.
I just thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
And maybe I'm just stupid that I didn't realize this before, but
no, I think just movies do that to you.
Yeah. And once again, like I'm from that lineage, like Swedish, you know, just Northern European heritage. And so that's always kind of been like a part of like that culture, I feel like.
It has, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, anyway, that is not the point of this. But they could have been a victim of a Viking boat sinking, and prolonged exposure to water could have turned them like a weird color.
That just doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, but these are just all different theories people came up with of like rational, reasonable.
What's a rational reason why these kids' skin was literally green?
Here's the thing, brother.
Tell me,
there are fucking aliens on our planet right now this week today.
I know.
So that is making me think rational and reasonable is absolutely anything else, anything the fuck else. Right?
You're right.
Yeah. Okay. But if the reports were true, these kids were like fucking green. Like every inch of them, head to fucking toe, green.
Yeah, I've seen the
illustrations
of these kids. Yeah. Yes.
And so if that's the case, and they weren't just like, you know how like sometimes, oh my gosh, Shelly, I love you. Sorry if this is an embarrassing story to tell. I went whale watching with my sister-in-law once, and she gets motion sickness really bad.
Same.
And she was just puking off the side of the boat. We were in Monterey, California, and it was kind of like a rough day on the ocean. And I have never seen this before. You know, people say like, oh, you look green. Like, you look sick. She was literally, she looked green.
Oh.
It was crazy. I didn't know that. I thought that was just an expression.
Me too.
But that, even still, that is like not.
Your skin being green.
Exactly. Yeah. So who were these kids? Where did they come from? Why were they fucking green, brother? So, okay, let's get into the fun theories.
Okay, tell me.
Theory one, and this one's very popular, and this is, of course, the UK, land of fairies and other little guys.
Ah, yes.
Some weird little guys. People think at the time, or thought at the time, that these kids for sure had either been stolen.
Ooh.
As babies.
Like a changeling?
To live with the fairies, and then they got too old, and the fairies were like, get them out of here.
Yeah, they got the boot.
And then that's why they loved, like, weird raw beans, because the fairies were like, I don't know what to feed human babies. I guess beans. And, like, that's why that's what they ate. And that's why the language was so unrecognizable, because it literally was not a language that anybody would have spoken.
Unless you're a fairy.
Unless you're a fairy.
Yeah.
Or that they could have been some sort of, like, fairy-human hybrid. And then the reason, like, the younger one died is because he couldn't, like, assimilate correctly. He was too much fairy. But the older one, because she was older and maybe stronger or maybe had more human genes, was able to assimilate to humanity. But the reason she was just such, like, a pill to be around is because she was not raised or didn't have it in her. She had, like, this fiery streak from her fairy side.
I was going to say, we all know Tinkerbell.
Exactly.
That...
And, like, fairies
Chick
are a little
a bitch.
Mischievous,
yeah.
And they have, like, their own little thing going on, right? Of course, aliens.
I mean.
It could always be aliens.
It always comes back there.
It comes back to aliens.
Aliens. Ah. And okay. That's part of the musical.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That'll be our debut single.
Absolutely.
Another theory is that this is just like an alternate dimension, alternate timeline, and these kids just like accidentally had a little slippy slip and fell right through.
Honestly,
into our timeline.
Honestly, that's the one I think.
I like the fairy one. That's kind of fun.
Well, what if it's an alternate dimension where everyone's like green fairies?
That's true. I mean, what is the definition of a fairy if it's not just something we don't understand
exactly.
And we label it a fairy? That's
exactly.
Very true.
And then they went through an alternate dimension, ended up in this wool pit. The only thing that's weird is that this chick slowly like turned not green. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, she like assimilated to like regular life, and I don't know if that's because she'd never seen the sun before.
Ooh.
But you know what I mean? Like there's so many different ideas.
Yeah.
And to me, like one of the things that's interesting about them speaking like this weird language and having to learn English is if they were like fleeing something nearby, like these are little kids.
Right.
So how far could they have really come? And also, it's a fucking island.
Yeah, and they weren't speaking.
And they were not speaking any language. So if they came from anywhere else, like they, even if it was, obviously there's different dialects on the island and stuff like that, especially probably back then, but they would at least recognize it.
Yeah.
They were like, this is a language we literally cannot even put a finger on.
I was going to say, like they would at least be able to be like, oh, it sounds like a language or there's some words here that I recognize.
That's what the people from farther up north sound like.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. It's not like when you were a kid and you and your friends would speak gibberish.
Yeah, made up languages
made
or
up
whatever.
Language.
Yeah. Okay, so there's actually some other historical evidence that says maybe this did happen.
Okay.
And an interesting one is that Jared of Wales, who is a priest and a historian around the same time as this incident, did keep in his diary like an encounter that he had that was very similar. So he wrote, quote, that he encountered two pygmies who led him through an underground passage into a beautiful land with fields and rivers that was not lit by full light of the sun. Unquote.
Oh.
Sounds very similar, right?
Uh-huh.
Like this always twilight idea that's happening here. So and there were like other stories. There was lots of other stories in this area in Wales and in England at this time that have similar ideas of going through an underground passage and finding this land that was always lit by twilight. And these are not people who are communicating with each other. They all wrote this separately, and it all just happened to be within like the same couple decades. Like, how weird is that?
That is really weird.
And then it all stopped at the same time too. So, was there potentially an underground passage to a world barely lit by the sun back in the 12th century in the UK, in Wales, Scotland, Ireland, and England? Was it?
That would be dope.
We don't know. But maybe.
But maybe.
And there's a lot of very interesting historical facts that say it could have been.
I love that idea of an underground world. But I also just, I don't know, the slipping through an alternate dimension thing to me is really...
What if it was an alternate dimension, but the portal was only open for a certain amount of time because there was like a weird time slip or whatever.
Got it. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And that's why it started and stopped all within the 12th century.
Yes. I like this. And it was also fairies.
Yeah, maybe that's where all of the fairies, you know, lore came from in this part of the world.
I say combine all three of those into one and bada bing, bada boom.
Let's fucking roll, brother. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that there's literally like historical records of this too.
There are, yeah. And yeah. I think that's what makes it interesting. Like when you said like, oh, is this technically just an urban legend?
Well, because I've heard the story. I've seen the illustrations, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know a lot of the minute details of it. So I think I always thought, because I never really researched it, I always was kind of like, maybe I'll do this one day for a story.
Well, because it also seems silly and it's a little short.
I thought it was an urban legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing until I started reading about these historians that were like well-respected historians that we like use today to be like, yes, this is what happened back then.
Yeah.
Like if it's written in these two separate accounts of these people who did not corroborate their writings, they both wrote things separately, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if they both wrote it down, it probably did happen.
It reminds me of the Versailles time slip.
Yes.
When both of the women wrote their separate accounts and it just happened to be like the same thing.
Yep.
And then it's like, how could you not trust them?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the Green Children from Woolpit.
Love it.
And I just thought it was such a fun little weird story.
It is.
And I just love little mysteries like that where it's like just this weird thing happens.
You're just like, what the fuck?
It's dealt with and we're just like, okay. Like, because the world is just such a strange place.
It, as we know.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you guys listen to the beginning of our episode, as we know.
Yeah. Yeah, we're having an existential crisis about
that. The world, things are happening.
Things are happening, and I don't like any of it.
And I'm sure green little children might make their way to us
every once in a while.
Who knows?
Who knows, man?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So last week, you were telling me about the triangle of death.
Yes.
On our faces.
Yes.
Where you can't pop your pimples.
I don't know what I did, if it was me or if it was the CIA or if it was just serendipity, synchronicity. But literally, I got so many pictures of pimples in my DMs.
Yeah, and I got a pimple.
You got a pimple in the same spot. Like, so many people were like, holy shit, I literally happen to have a pimple right there right now.
Yeah, I think that's a synchronicity.
Well, you're welcome for saving your life and telling you not to pop it.
You did. But during that conversation, I briefly brought up the zone of silence.
Yes, in Mexico.
And then I realized
we've never covered it.
We've never covered it.
I was actually thinking about that too when I was editing the episode.
Yeah.
So it's time, baby.
So I just thought perhaps it's time to bring out the zone of silence.
This is actually a very long-winded advertisement for Triangle of Sadness. Go stream. No, I'm just kidding.
Imagine.
I have not seen that movie. I do know it's nominated for an Oscar. It's the only reason I even know it exists.
Listen, there's a lot of triangles. There's a lot of zones in this
world. Listen, people are zoning. They're triangling.
They're doing all of it.
They're triangulating.
But today, we are talking about
the triangle of silence.
The zone.
Oh, the zone.
Of silence.
Zone of silence. It's not even triangular.
It's not triangular.
Is it like
just
amoeba-shaped?
There's not really a shape to it, but we'll talk about it.
All right.
So my sources were historicmysteries.com by Les Hewitt, mexconnect.com by Andrea Kaus, strangemag.com by Scott Corrales, amusingplanet.com by Kaushik Patawari, ancientorigins.net.
Oh, Ancient Origins. I love Ancient Origins. We use them all the time for like some of our historic mysteries. Fucking awesome website.
They also, isn't there like a whole alien documentary called Ancient Origins?
There might be. I mean, Ancient Aliens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not to bring it back to aliens.
I just think that I should be on that show.
You should.
Maybe you too.
Maybe when they invade us.
Oh, when they come get us.
Yeah. We can be on the show.
And I get my little, I just imagine, okay, sorry. I just imagine the aliens putting like a little weird collar on me, like a shock collar, basically.
Okay.
And they have me sitting behind a desk where I tell the news, but I tell the news that the aliens want me to tell people.
I don't like that. I don't think.
And I'm like, hello, everybody. Welcome to Alien Today. I'm Cassidy Liston, and I'm a news anchor now. And the aliens killed 500. The aliens helped 500 people go to the next life. You know what I mean? Like, I use the word killed.
I know what you mean. I just don't love it for you.
I don't love it for me either. Yeah. It's just something that I'm seeing in my future.
Okay, maybe. We'll see.
I don't know. We got to ask the runes.
We do. Okay, so let's talk about the zone.
Yes.
So the zone of silence, or La Zona del Silencio, is a 50-kilometer or 31-mile radius of desert in Mexico. Pretty big.
Yes.
The zone sits where the Mexican states of Chihuahua, Durango, and Coahuila meet.
Okay.
So it literally borders these three states. And it's also known as the Mapimi Biosphere Reserve or the Trino Vertex.
Okay.
So this whole area is pretty bare, but there's tons of different plants and cactus, and there's many rare species of bugs, birds, and reptiles just kind of roaming about.
Doing their thing.
Along the outskirts of the zone, people actually do live there. I think it's mostly just farmers. But living in the zone of silence is very difficult because the reason it's called La Zona del Silencio is because something that actually happened to me about 45 minutes ago, all technology does not work inside this area. And this has caused tons of legends and myths throughout the years, as well as very strange sightings and weird anomalies that have occurred.
That they can't record with their cell phones because...
It doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
And as we know, who does that?
It always comes back to aliens.
This is a very alien-heavy episode, I feel like.
Listen, we're on brand. We're letting them know that we're here. We love you. We support you,
this
aliens.
This has got to be a synchronicity we both covered these stories.
I like to think that it's just alien propaganda.
Probably. You're right.
Pro-alien propaganda.
You're absolutely right.
Because we're trying to survive the culling.
You're right, yeah. So the first report of weird things happening in this area was in the 1930s when a pilot named Francisco Sarabia reported that he was flying over this patch of desert and all his radio signals and equipment just started malfunctioning and not working. And even though this guy is very real and was very famous at the time, there are differing reports that say, you know, once he was able to get out of the zone, everything went back to normal. And then some other reports say he actually crashed his plane here because this guy did get into a pretty bad plane crash in his career. And some people just say that it was in the zone.
Okay, so we're not sure if it actually was in the zone.
Yeah, we're
not
completely sure.
Okay.
Might just be part of, like, a legend. And then in 1964, an engineer named Harry de la Pena was hired to go survey this area in the desert to see if they could run an oil pipeline from there to Jimenez, Chihuahua. Mm-hmm. But the second he gets to this patch of land, his radios and walkie-talkies stopped working, and he was unable to communicate with the team that he was working for.
Sounds zone of silence-y.
Very zone of silence-y. So when he left the area and he was, like, telling people about how his technology was failing, Harry de la Pena was actually the person to coin the term La Zona del Silencio.
Ah, okay. So, and did you say it was 50 kilometers?
Yes.
Or 50 miles?
And 31 miles, 50 okay. kilometers.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so it's like a big area.
It is, but it's also like really specific.
It is, yes. So anyone that enters the zone of silence will see that their compasses will start going crazy, and it often gets people lost for a while until they can figure out where the fuck they're going. Very alien-like, if you ask me. And farmers that live on the outskirts of the zone of silence often say that their TVs just don't work.
Okay.
At all. So you and I cannot live there because we love to watch TV.
TV is my favorite hobby.
Right.
And for anyone who says that's not a hobby, you're wrong.
I agree. 100%. So in 1938, a large meteorite fell from the sky and landed directly into the zone of silence. And then in 1954, another one fell from the sky and landed in this area.
See, this is why I know about the zone of silence, yeah. Because that's fucking strange, brother.
And what's even stranger is that a third one fell from the sky in 1969 and landed in this area. And like I said before, like, this is a pretty big section of land, 31 miles.
But not in the grand scheme of, like, the world.
But two out of those three meteorites landed on the exact same ranch.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's really fucking weird. And then the third one just landed slightly to the west.
Okay.
So pretty much in the vicinity. So when these meteorites crashed, people in the surrounding towns woke up to seeing these, like, huge beams of light falling from the sky, hearing loud sounds, and some people even had their windows shattered. That's how insane it was.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So people believe that some sort of, like, energy force was literally pulling these meteorites out of the sky into the zone.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
Yeah. So already by now, this area had locals talking and rumors, you know, were afoot. But what really put this place on the map was what happened on July 11th, 1970. So during the Cold War, the White Sands Missile Base in New Mexico was conducting a bunch of these, like, secret tests, obviously, with these Athena re-entry test vehicle rockets. So on July 11th, 1970, an Athena RTV rocket launched from Green River Military Base in Utah. This missile was carrying two capsules of radioactive cobalt 57, and this was scheduled to land in the White Sands, New Mexico desert. But to everyone's confusion and surprise, they watched as this missile continued way past its intended destination, over 500 miles.
Oh my God.
And crash landed directly into the zone of silence.
It's like a big magnet.
It literally.
Yeah.
So the U.S. government calls up the Mexican government and they're like, hey, sorry, guys.
Our bad.
We're so sorry. Can we actually come down there and find our missile and get, like, our radioactive capsules back as soon as we can? Because, you know, if we just dumped a bunch of, like, radioactive shit in your area, that's not good.
Yeah.
And also, this is a secret government mission, so we don't really want to tell anybody about it.
Mm-hmm.
As all missions are in the U.S. government.
They're trying to be secret so hard. So, and they're terrible at it.
They're so bad at it. Like, don't crash land your missile. People are going to find out.
Yeah.
So the Mexican government's like, yeah, come on down, clean up your fucking mess. So immediately the U.S. government comes down and they're looking everywhere for this missile, which was huge. This is a 50-foot tall, 16,000-pound rocket.
Jesus.
And it took them 3 weeks to find it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And also, like, there would have been a crash site.
There was.
And it's only 30 miles to search.
I know.
Okay.
So very bizarre. Just, yeah. Like, everything about this is really weird.
Yeah.
So when they find it, this is a huge crash site, like you just said. So they had to remove all the contaminated sand and anything else that could have been, you know, radioactive as quickly as they could. And this recovery and cleanup operation was dubbed Operation Sand Patch.
Okay.
A local man named Jamie Gonzalez was hired to captain this team of, like, guards of local people to protect the rocket from the public, because obviously this got out in the public and people wanted to come see this crash site. So they were like, you have to guard it and make sure nobody can come see it. but they really weren't told, like, why they were protecting it or what they were protecting. Then the U.S. government sets up these labs, kitchens, medical facilities, and dorms in this area for the cleanup.
Okay.
Then they build a railroad and an airstrip going from the crash site so they can remove 20 tons of soil and plants that are supposed to be contaminated from this capsule.
Okay.
And they do this for a few weeks, and then they're like, okay, everything's cleaned up now. And they pack up everything, they take out the railroad and the airstrip, and they go back to the United States.
Interesting. All right.
It's just really weird. Like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, it just seems like a lot of...
What are you doing?
Seems like a lot of, like, time and effort and stuff.
So much time and effort.
Yeah, for something that should be way more simple than what they're saying.
Why are you building a railroad and an airstrip?
And also, same way, like, it took them 3 weeks to find the crash site. I'm like, to me, it sounds like you just wanted 3 weeks to explore this place.
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like I said, people had heard about this crash and the cleanup operation and everything. But none of the locals knew exactly what was happening. They were kind of kept in the dark. And no one really knew what they were testing with these rockets and the radioactive capsules in the first place.
Yeah.
Everything is very hush-hush. So a few years after this crash, during the Apollo program, one of the Saturn boosters, which is just another rocket, was allegedly flying over the zone when a piece of it broke off and broke up into these tiny little bits and, like, exploded. So obviously there's something in this specific area causing these, like, malfunctions of planes or rockets or just, like, pulling things straight out of the sky.
Yeah. It's kind of similar to what some people think is going on in the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes.
Sorry, you're probably going to get into that, huh?
Well, I'll just tell you now.
Yeah.
This is called Mexico's Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah, people think there's, like, something going on that just, like, rips ships mm-hmm. down to the bottom of the ocean, basically.
Yes.
Yeah.
So after these experiences, a research field station and a water tower was put in this area by the Mexican government, which is actually still there today. And the government says it's just there to study, like, the flora and fauna in the Mapimi Reserve. And scientists from all over the country and all over the world are constantly coming in and out of this research station.
Okay.
So, of course, some people are like, yeah, that's what they're doing. This makes total sense. There was obviously a contamination, and that caused some flora and fauna to mutate after it was contaminated.
And like you said, there's a lot of, like, rare
species,
animals that hang out there.
Rare
so,
plants.
Okay. Yeah.
There's, like, some weird purple cactus that everyone talks about all the time that's, like, not normal.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah. So they're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. But there have also been some strange sightings in the zone that have sparked rumors of maybe other things they could be researching here. Mm-hmm. And people also think that the water tower is actually not a water tower and might be some sort of a watchtower instead.
That makes sense to me, yeah.
And this actually reminds me a little bit of the story you did a couple weeks ago about the research station in Antarctica.
Yes, that's, like, what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Yeah, like, why are they always putting these weird research stations in these random, like, places where people don't live?
Yeah, where it's like, who cares what goes on there?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you actually doing?
And also, like, bro, this place is weird.
Really fucking weird.
So even if you were just like, hey, we're investigating this place because it's fucking weird, we'd just be like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, we'd be like, let us know.
We'd be like, that makes more sense than saying, like, oh, yeah, you know, we just have a water tower here
yeah.
for fun.
Like, investigate the weird shit and then tell us the tea.
Yeah, spill.
You know what I mean?
Spill those piping hot beans.
And now we know you're shooting down UFOs. So now we know stuff.
A lot happening.
Buddies?
A lot happening. Buddies?
So,
sorry, calling them buddies is very funny to me.
So now let's talk about these strange sightings. A group of people, two men and one woman, are often seen in this area. They are tall and blonde and are usually wearing clothes that are, quote unquote, not at all suitable for a desert environment.
Okay.
These people are very nice and apparently speak fluent Spanish. And in almost every report of seeing these people, they will enter your property and ask if they can fill their canteens with water from your well.
Okay.
One person who was working on a ranch reported that he asked the group of people where they came from, and the only response he got back was, from above.
Well, I don't like that.
Right? And they, like, never ask to come inside your house. They never ask for food. And
they just want water.
They just want water. And then some people think that they might want the water from the wells because it's from this really mysterious place.
Yeah, because it's from down in the earth. Yeah, okay.
And they're trying to, like,
research
this water.
Hey, listen, I believe it.
To each its own.
Whatever. To each his own. To each his zone.
And this, to each this his is a zone, zone of silence.
The zone of silence. This is the musical episode.
Oh, this is the musical episode. Yeah, I forgot. Yeah.
Don't forget. This is the musical episode.
Another song could just be shh, shh, shh. Because it's a zone. You got to silence.
Oh, shh, shh, shh.
Don't speak.
We're coming for you. That's ASMR, baby.
I hate that.
Okay, tonight before you go to sleep, we're going to rub some.
What? Stop.
What do they call them? Makeup brushes all over the mic. That's what I always see online.
We're not doing ASMR.
They're always putting makeup brushes on the mic.
That's
I'm like,
disgusting.
Stop doing that.
I hate anything about that.
It feels like it's because they're horny. I don't know. I don't know if it's because they're horny. It feels like it is.
It's a kink.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know when people are horny.
That is not what this is about.
Okay, sorry. Back to the
zone
of silence.
We're not about being horny. So another encounter happened in October of 1975. Ernesto and Josefina Diaz went into the zone to look for fossils and unusual rocks. And while they were there, this huge storm unexpectedly hit. So they ran back to their truck to try to get out of there because it started downpouring. But unfortunately, the mud around their truck was so wet that they ended up getting stuck. Like,
oh,
they could
shit.
Not get their truck out.
That's the worst feeling, man.
Literally the
when
worst.
When the tire's just going...
And it, yeah.
Ugh.
Just in the same spot.
Yes.
Yeah.
It fucking sucks.
Horrible.
You're like, we're done for.
Yeah, and you feel like you get so much anxiety because you're like, I just can't move from this spot.
Yeah.
I'm here forever.
I've had that happen to me, and you have to get, like, planks of wood and put it under the
uh-huh.
tire. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's just so annoying.
So all of a sudden, they look up and they see these two abnormally tall men wearing yellow raincoats and hats, and they approach their car. So without knowing how or why, the Diaz's truck managed to get out of this swampy mud and onto the firm ground. Almost kind of like Ernesto and Josefina blacked out for 2 seconds, and then all of a sudden they were on.
Yeah, they're like, whoa, how did that happen? Yeah.
So the men kind of told Ernesto, like, stay inside the truck. But he was like, no, like, I want to thank these guys for helping us get out of here, obviously.
Yeah.
So he opens up the door, and when he gets out of the truck to go thank them, they had already disappeared.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I like that. Spooky.
The following year, in September of 1976, residents reported seeing a giant rectangular-shaped object that was about 900 feet long hovering right above their town. It had colorful lights that were blinking, and there was a deep humming sound. Every single dog in the neighborhood would not stop barking up at the sky, like all at the same time.
Suspicious. Sounds like another producer I know.
Sydney. So this object stayed there for a few minutes while dogs were barking and people were just staring until it completely disappeared within a split second. Then in November of 1978, a journalist named Luis Ramirez Reyes went to the zone to cover a story, you know, because he had heard about this weird place and he was like, I want to go research it and write a story on it. So he and his photographer ended up going ahead of the rest of his team and they made their way into the desert. So ultimately, him and his team were going to the research field station, which was like in the center of the whole thing, the whole zone, Mapimi Reserve. But as they kept driving deeper into the desert, Luis realized that they didn't have any food or water just in case they ended up getting lost, which they did.
Of course.
So as they start kind of panicking, like, oh my God, we don't know what direction we're going to. Like every time they would go into a cross section, they were like, where the fuck do we go?
Yeah.
Luis ends up seeing three people walking up ahead in the distance. So he's thinking, okay, these are locals. Maybe they can point us in the right direction to get to this field station. So he tells the photographer to slow down so he can talk to these people. But the photographer just ends up driving right past these people like he didn't even see them.
Hmm.
So Luis is like, okay, maybe I'm just seeing things now. Like, this desert heat is already getting to me and I'm clearly dehydrated. So I just thought I saw something and I didn't. But as they continue driving, he ends up seeing the same people in a completely different area of the desert. And obviously, like, they're driving and these people are walking, so it's not like they could have caught up to them in a 20-minute span.
Yeah.
So Luis tells the guy, hey, stop the car. And he does, and he gets out to go talk to these people. So they end up telling him, you know, this is how you get to the field station. He's like, okay, cool, thank you so much. And then they tell Luis that they were just out walking around the desert looking for their stray pets.
Okay.
That got lost. Which was odd to Luis because he, like, looked at them and they didn't have any food or water with them. And this area is miles long.
Yeah.
And they're in the middle of nowhere.
And barren.
Literally yeah. barren. There's nothing around them. So they had to have been walking for hours. But he's like, okay, thank you so much. He gets back in the car and he directs the photographer, who I'm assuming was very confused, to get to the field station. So when they get there, they meet up with their team, and Harry de la Pena, who was the original guy who coined La Zona del Silencio in the first place, mm-hmm. was there. And Luis tells him of these three people that he just saw. And Harry's like, first of all, there's absolutely no way that there's anyone in this area besides the team. Like, I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
And there's also no way that anyone would survive out here without food and water.
Yeah, walking
this
far.
Kind of distance. And Luis pretty much convinced himself that he had just been suffering from some sort of a delusion and these people never existed in the first place.
But the photographer saw him too.
No, he didn't.
Even when they came up to talk to them and give them directions?
Yeah, he literally did not know they
were
there.
Then how did he get the directions?
No, Luis got the directions.
No, that's what I'm saying. If they
Luis
were fake,
I don't know.
If they were fake, how did the fake people give him directions?
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying the photographer was probably very confused by this whole situation because he never saw them.
Okay.
So, like I said, this place is just very odd, and it makes it even odder when the U.S. government and the Mexican governments get involved and start building random fucking shit all over the place.
Yeah.
But to this day, no one really knows what is going on in the Zone of Silence or what is up with this place.
Love it. Let's go infiltrate it.
But apparently, the Zone of Silence is geographically parallel with the Bermuda Triangle.
Love that.
And the Pyramids of Giza in Egypt.
There's something going on here.
So
something's afoot.
Yeah, and like I said, some people call this place Mexico's Bermuda Triangle. So maybe the fact that these specific places, I don't really understand too much about the parallels, mm-hmm. but they specifically sit in between the 26th and 28th parallel.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that has something to do with all these weird occurrences that happen in these places.
Mm, I like that.
But it sounds like it does.
I like it. And I think there's definitely something going on that we don't understand.
It's very mysterious.
Magnets. How do they work? And St. Clown Posse was right.
Well, that's, you know, it's crazy too, because I don't really understand a lot of when people say, oh, the magnetic whatever. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. but what? Like, how is that? Like, just because there's like magnetic stuff in the ground and the sand, like, really, the missiles are gonna fall out of the sky or the meteorites are gonna fall out of the sky?
Well, I know, like, magnetic poles and shit. I mean, I'm smart enough to know that it exists.
Yeah.
But I'm not smart enough to know why.
Same. I mean, same. That's why I'm like, what? I don't understand.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know there's, like, magnetic, the Earth has a magnetic pole and it has, like, a rotational pole. Mm-hmm. That's, like, why we have the moon and shit. That's, like, why, like, at the North and South Pole, all your shit stops working, right? Because it's, like, that's where all the magnetic shit meets. And then I've heard, you know, obviously the Bermuda Triangle has some sort of weird magnetic thing, and that's why people get lost there so much and whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't really understand why. And I think I'm too stupid to understand, so don't try to explain it to me. Don't send me a message being like, no, it's so easy, and then, like, start using words.
Well, if you're too stupid to understand, then please, please do not try to explain it to me, because I don't want to know.
Yeah, I'm just dumb as shit. Just tell your friend. Tell a friend.
Yeah.
Tell someone who already likes you.
So true.
Just send a quick little text to your mom and be like, did you know this? And she'd be like, I'm so proud of you, honey.
Yeah, because we like to remain like, oh, this is a mystery that I will never know
yeah,
about.
Don't tell. Because here's the thing. Even if it's solved by science and I don't understand that science, that's mysterious to me.
And obviously, like, for me, for me, it's like, okay, they built a research station in Antarctica where they were clearly studying some sort of an alien race.
Yeah.
As you talked about 2 weeks ago in your story. Mm-hmm. This sounds very similar to me. They have to be studying something. There's weird sightings of very weird, bizarre people. And as we know, if you like aliens, which you guys all better fucking like aliens because they're fucking coming for us right now. So you better say up to the sky right now that you like them so they keep you alive.
Just remind them. Just remind me you like them.
We know that the different species, there's a species called the blondes, right?
Yes, there are, yeah.
So
I covered a story on
it. Yeah, so these blonde people, aliens, hello, that's what it is. The end.
I think it's important that we remember all blonde people are aliens.
So true.
That's what the crux of this story is.
Yes. That's exact. That was my whole point. Yeah. Really. Yeah.
That's really important. Yeah. That was the thesis and the ending.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it.
So, aliens.
Aliens. Guys, listen, we're living in a brave new world. I'm looking at shit getting shot down over Alaska, over Montana.
Ohio.
Us saying it always comes back to aliens isn't so funny now, is it?
I'm not laughing.
The opposite.
I'm crying.
I'm crying. I'm puking. I'm shitting. Yeah, that was great.
Thanks.
Very interesting place. Would love to go and infiltrate it one day.
No, it's a desert. I'm not going in there.
That's true. I do hate deserts.
Yeah.
It's like when people ask me to go camping in Joshua Tree. I'm like, why would I do that?
Camping?
In Joshua Tree.
There's like so many fun Airbnbs.
So
why would I go camping?
Hot there. I'm not trying to be there.
No, I'm trying to sit in an Airbnb the whole time.
Yeah, give me like a pool.
And just say I'm in Joshua Tree.
Yeah, just give me a pool.
I'm not even kidding. I want to do that.
I want to go to Pappy's and Harriet's.
What's that?
It's like a music venue out there in Joshua Tree.
Oh, I don't want to do any of that. I just want to sit in an Airbnb. Oh. Literally the whole time.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
All right. Love it. Speaking of Joshua Tree, there's a UFO Airbnb out there.
There is.
Yeah.
It is shaped like a UFO.
It is.
We should go.
All right. Well, thank you for that. That was wonderful.
You're welcome. Are you going to read me a story?
Yeah. Should I end this with a beautiful little listener story?
You absolutely should. So I can get the fuck out of your cursed ass apartment.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
And you can stay in here forever.
This is where I live, unfortunately. Yeah. Just kidding. I love my apartment. Haunted and all. So we have a listener story today from Josie
and the Pussycats,
who is a cool kid.
Yes.
Josie says, hello ladies, I want to start this off by saying I absolutely love listening to the pod and I think y'all are just amazing. Anyway, I wanted to tell you a story about the spooky / heartwarming / maybe just coincidental thing that happened to my sister and myself a couple of years ago.
Let us know.
You love heartwarming.
I do.
This is like right up your alley.
But it also makes me nervous that I'm going to cry.
You might cry. You're in that kind of zone today.
I am.
You're in a zone of cryolence.
I'm in the zone of cryolence.
All right. So in September of 2021, a very close family friend of my parents and my whole family got into a tragic ATV accident. His name was Jeremy, a.k.a. Bam Bam. This is very important later. Unfortunately, he did pass away at the very beginning of October.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
That's fucking awful. After that happened, some strange occurrences began. Did that make sense? ? Yes, it did make sense. First occurrence, a few days after he passed, my sister and I, who is my twin, had the same exact dream. It was a very vivid, happy memory from when we were about 8 or 9 years old. It was a birthday party at my house and we had a bouncy castle in the backyard. At some point at the party, all of the adults, including Jeremy, got into the bouncy castle with us, and it deflated.
Oh, no.
In this dream, we are all in the bouncy castle, and Jeremy looked at us and said, everything is going to be okay. I'm going to miss you all.
Oh, no.
It was scary, yet very comforting. I didn't say anything about it until my sister brought up her dream to me. So, like, confirmed.
Yeah.
Second occurrence, this did not happen to me, but my oldest sister, who lives in a different state, called us up on the day of his funeral. Unfortunately, she could not make it to the funeral. But she called and told us that she was driving on her way home with her baby and her husband, and there was a horse just standing in the middle of the road.
What?
She pulls over and goes over to the horse to get him out of the way. She described him as very friendly and willing to follow her. The owner said of the horse, when they finally found them, oh my goodness, thank you. Like, this is so amazing.
I swear to God, if this horse is named Jeremy.
And then the owner leaves and says, come on, Bam Bam.
No.
This brought my sister to tears. bringing Amanda to tears currently.
I'm about to start crying.
Last occurrence, same day as his funeral / celebration of life. Little backstory, him and all of his friends were bikers and rode motorcycles. On the way to the place it was being held, his son Jack was supposed to lead everybody into the park on his dad's bike. But that morning, the bike would not start. No lights, not a sound, nothing that they tried. They had to bring it in on a trailer. They bring it in, park it in this building with a bunch of pictures and stuff of him. The celebration goes on, and me and my sisters and dad and mom were getting pictures with the bike and Jack. Jack notices that some of the lights are on the bike.
Stop.
He goes to start it, and the beautiful roar of the bike was heard throughout the whole place. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Jack turns to us and says, he always needed to be the center of attention. Oh my God. Okay. That one got me too. Those were some of the encounters that my family and I experienced. There were a few more, but I think the message is already long enough. Well, ladies, what do you think? I personally wholeheartedly believe he was keeping in touch with us. Stay awesome. I totally dig ya. Josie. That was like the perfect one because it was totally like made sense. Very sweet. A little spooky, but in
very
a cute way.
Obvious like communication messages.
And I love that. It reminds me of the Aunt Pam story you told.
Yeah, kind of.
It has very similar vibes. Yeah. Like using something, some sort of like technology. Like this one used a bike and that was something that was like very held precious. Uh-huh. To be like, hey, I'm going to be cool. It's fine. Thank you for sharing with us, Josie. That was really sweet.
That was so sweet.
Hope Jack is doing well with the loss of his father, and we hope your whole family is comforted by this message that you got from him. That makes me really, really happy.
Oh my God, my heart.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Josie. And if you have a story you would like to share with us, you can do that at dtkpod.com/contact. You can also find our Patreon there, ways to review us, ways to support us, and all of that good stuff. So thank you guys so much for listening. And most importantly, make sure you keep that front door locked.
Make sure you keep your mind open.
And keep drinking the Kool-Aid.
And tell the aliens that you love them right now.
Oh my God. Submit to your alien overlords.
Right now.
Sydney said, this pussy is juicy. Oh no.
Oh my God. I can't.
This is the weirdest day of my life. Literally, what the fuck's happening?
I don't know. Oh my God.
This episode's about to be 4 hours long.
No, it literally is going to be 4 hours. You have to cut out so much.